Hi all, on this week's edition of the Orlando Addict Podcast, we talk Hulu and Disney Plus. We talk about what I think of The Lion King, plus news from Denny. And then I also ask people social media questions about Virgin not selling SeaWorld tickets and their favourite hotels they stayed at. Some reply with the ones they don't like. So sit back and enjoy the Orlando Addict Podcast.
Also, there may be swearing in this episode, so this may not be for young ears.
Yes, July the 17th, Halloween Horror Nights brought my childhood alive for me. I never saw the original attraction at Universal Studios, so a Halloween Horror Nights house, yes, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to this. We already had Stranger Things, what got me excited. Now we've got the original Ghostbusters. I cannot wait for this. I grew up on Ghostbusters. I had all the toys, everything, the movies. I loved to used to run around the street as a child with my proton pack on. I cannot wait for this. Thank you, Halloween Horror Nights. Also, we got another house announced for Halloween Horror Nights. Why my TV decides to butt in with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's still Disney, so don't bother me too much. But for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights 29, we've got the Killer Clowns house officially announced. I loved the Scare Zone last year. It's probably one of the best ones I've seen. I haven't been to many, but what I've seen online, it looks amazing. I know it's been the most photography used one. People took loads of photos and interacted with the characters in the Scare Zone. So I think the house will just go a step further and will look amazing. If you haven't seen the movie, I suggest you watch it just to appreciate it more. So yeah, now we've got Killer Clowns. The houses are starting to come together in Halloween Horror Nights. So let's get into it. Here's the first social media questions I asked people and here's their responses. So we've got to Sunday morning, I released the podcast and like a dick, I didn't check it. And thank God for Shell Dockley, cheers mate, for telling me the sound just disappears in bits of it. I've checked it, he is correct, I'm not sure what's going on. The Anchor app's done that before to me when I've recorded on it. And generally I might start using other software to record if it keeps up doing that. So basically this is a bit about social media questions I asked about Virgin Holidays. So the first question was, good morning all. So what's everyone's thoughts on Virgin not selling tickets to SeaWorld anymore? Right, my opinion, this is a PR stunt all over it to try and make this house look good. But I'd also like people's opinions. And if you tell me, I'll give you a shout out on the podcast with your opinion. The first group we went into is Orlando Direct. This is an adult content Facebook group. It's not for the lighthearted or little soft snowflakes. It's a good laugh in there, I personally think, but it's not everyone's cup of tea. But oh well, we can't all be the same, can we? The only thing what's not allowed in this group is homophobia or racism. You are allowed to argue with other people. There's a lot of banter in this group, and some people can't take it, but a lot of people in there just know how to roll with it and not take it so personal, because as we all know, the world has come absolutely soft and everything hurts everyone's feelings. So this group is not for everyone, but I love it. So the first person is Claire Louise Godfrey. They only stopped because of profits, not enough. The next person, Sarah Clark. They have also stopped all sales to Atlantis, the Palm and the Atlantis Paradise Island in Bahamas as well. I'm not sure if I agree with congratulating Virgin. I've been SeaWorld recently and personally will always go the rescue and release program they offer. The education on having the seas being kind to the planet really helps hit home, and the kids, and not to mention the the convention work they do all over. I got back there, guys. They also make decisions with regards to food and drinks and merch sold within the parks. And not a single plastic straw in sight compared to Disney and Universal. So are we all going to stop going to zoos, aquariums and safari parks now? That's a question. Throughout each of the shows, they explain what if the animal, whale, dolphin, etc. didn't want to do anything, they aren't forced and they forced into it. I think until you see the work, each one of these places, I do think one can comment. Oh my God, that was really dark. They changed massively over 28 years I've been visiting. I agree. I've only been over 10 years and you can see the changes already. So there has been changes there. The next one was Owen McMahon. Can I go on your podcast, Phil, and talk about the enclaves? Owen, you can come on and do what you want, mate. My podcast is not biased to anything. It's not even biased to the theme parks I like. If people have a gripe with a place or like a place, come on and fight your corner. And this is to enclave people as well. If you'd like to say what you love about the hotel, you come on as well. But, you know, everyone can have their own piece if you want to be on the podcast. My personal opinion is Owen's funny. And he put a post up about a Pacific hotel and people got upset. It was funny and just need to get over it. Next one is Chris Chamberlain. Not stopped Disney though. Hypocrites. Totally agree. After him, I should have really checked everyone, is Ross O'Hare. I didn't save the pictures. I just basically wrote all these down. Ross O'Hare is the next person though. Think it's a joke, to be honest. They've kept everything running for Disney, who have shown no interest in change, simply folded to pressure because of blackfish and shit. Spot on. Next one, Sarah Jane Coupland. So what about Disney tickets for Animal Kingdom or Discovery Cove or Aquatica? Doubt they will stop selling them, especially the Disney ones, but then they will do tickets to the likes of the Polymitus Park, etc. I'm not sure where that is, but maybe they're still selling tickets to something like SeaWorld. The next person is Lisa Burton. Wasn't it a holiday company that started all the hype about SeaWorld because they wanted to promote a theme park in the Far East that they'd done holidays to? Can't remember which holiday company. We go to SeaWorld every time we go to Florida and we think they do fantastic work in the wild and their parks. You pay for this. We always buy our tickets from Florida. The tickets much cheaper and the holiday companies, you get real tickets, not vouchers, and just £10 deposit for all your tickets, including Universal and Disney. Yeah, there's many like Florida Tickets, Attraction Tickets Direct as well. That's for the UK. They're brilliant companies, a lot cheaper than buying in Florida. Right, the next person, Laura Keenan. As I said in my post the other day, double standards written all over it. Diane Bamber. Must not have been worth their while. Fair enough. Paul Cockram, seriously, that is a funny surname. Sorry, Paul. We don't, won't stop me or others going to SeaWorld. Just get the tickets elsewhere. Do you think it's a PR stunt? Discussing the real reason there's not enough money for them. Susan Hanlon is the next person. And the last person in Orlando Direct who wrote, you rest of you lazy bastards going to put something. Phil, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree with you. Faults, definitely a PR stunt to make themselves look good. So the next group I'm in is the official After Dark Podcast Network Army. This is the group for all the people who listen to all the podcasts from the After Dark Network, what I am a part of now. And there's so many good podcasts like Universal After Dark, Disney After Dark, Diz After Dark, I should say, Simon Says Podcast, My Bench, etc. And on, there's so many. So people in here, this is what they've said. Oh, plus Ryan with his great podcast, Theme Park Traders. What a great podcast that is. He's got other podcasts as well. But I need to get on through this because I need to do this quick because I'm meant to be out. So the next person was Ryan from the, as I said, the Theme Park Traders. Agree with this, Phil. SeaWorld has been doing a lot in the recent years to turn around their questionable past. Granted, there is still work to be done, but Virgin wanted to make a point on this and have done so far after the release of Blackfish. With dwindling international sales, I have a feeling they are just aren't selling tickets and decided for the PR stunt of it. The next person was Chris Bay. Completely a PR stunt. If they were that concerned, they would have stopped sales to Animal Kingdom and Busch Gardens too. Yeah. Alan Wheeler, he said, I think you will find that they stop selling tickets to any business that catches wild orcas rather than just SeaWorld. Do not get me wrong. I have always said I think Cyril does a lot of good things for preservation wise, and should have stood up at the time at Blackfish and defended themselves. There's also things they should have been doing better already, such as larger tanks. I think they started the larger tanks, so that is coming. David Elliott, if they were that worried about selling tickets for parks with captive animals, then what about Animal Kingdom? To me, there is no difference with keeping animals in a fish tank or a field. They're not going to make a stand with Disney, as they would lose a fortune not selling their tickets. PR stunt, as I guess. They don't sell a lot of tickets to SeaWorld. To be honest, I'm happy to go to both parks. Thank you, David. Nick Brant, the leader, one of the big leaders of the After Dark Podcast Network, and on so many podcasts, you've probably heard his voice somewhere. This is down to contracts expiring, nothing more, or it would have been done years ago. Proper hypocritical, though, to sell tickets to Animal Kingdom and Busch Gardens, but not SeaWorld, who do as much as animal care and protection than they do. Either support none or support all. Besides, Blackfish was a hatchet job. All documentaries have an agenda. That's the purpose. The fact so many people have spoken against it once it came out, including those who featured in it, says more to me. So that's the people from the After Dark Podcast Network. The next group I asked in was Disney World Florida Fun for Everyone. They're a family-friendly group, very nice people who run the group. Also, a big shout and thank you for your advertising page as well. You let me advertise the podcast on. Thank you so much for that. So I'm just going to find where I wrote it on here, and then I'll get back to you. Well, scratch that. I actually think the message I deleted off there, I was meant to delete them off all the groups. I did delete off that one, I think. So I'm sorry for anybody who wrote on there and you're not on the podcast. I will ask questions in the future on other things, so I will get you on the podcast. As I said, Virgin, shame on you. It's a bad promotional stunt. Yeah, you're not making money. We all know that. So you thought, hey, everyone, look at us. My opinion, this is, hey, everyone, look at us. Aren't we great? We stopped selling these tickets because we fell for Blackfish's terrible documentary. As Nick said, it was very bad. And many people on it who their interviews were cut up and everything said this wasn't right. But that didn't make major news, because you don't want to hear good news. You only want to hear bad news in this world. That's the way the world become. And people, instead of doing their homework, decided just to believe a very bad documentary. Biased to one side. It would be nice if SeaWorld really should have got their ass together at that point and got an independent documentary people in to talk about the good stuff, but they didn't. So shame on you, SeaWorld, for that. But real big shame that Disney have stopped doing it. As I said, there is other ways of getting tickets. You can obviously buy them out there if you're out there. But in England, you've got companies online like Florida Tix. That's Florida and then the world spell Tix, spelled T-I-X, or Attraction Tickets Direct, just two of them. There's quite a few. If you're not sure, just asking Facebook groups, the big ones, and they will tell you if they're legit and safe. There'll be members that have used them. So yeah, that's what everyone thinks of Virgin and what they've done, so thank you very much. Anyway, I've got some news I've been reading about Disney Plus. It's quite interesting, I thought. I'm guessing it's for the American friends still in the US of A. Disney Plus will be offered as a Hulu add-on. Now, Disney Plus out there, you know, and Hulu, obviously both owned by Disney. What it's saying is Disney's getting ready to enter streaming gaming a big splashy way this November with the launch of Disney Plus. The service is meant to be a direct competitor to Netflix. I can't see it being straight away, my personal opinion. And will feature a ton of high-dollar original programs such as Live Action Lady and the Tramp remakes, a slate of Marvel TV shows to further assess their dominance over the industry. It's been revealed that Hulu will be offering Disney Plus as an add-on, which means the service will be even more accessible for potential subscribers, but also means consumers have an important choice to make. Ooh, interesting though, isn't it? This news is confirmed by Hulu's Senior Vice President So yeah, we'll just as I say, we'll keep an eye and see what happens from here. Any more news, and I'll get back to you.
It's the Florida News Time.
Hey Phil, it's Danny here. Coming with another crazy Florida news of the week. And this week we have, I guess, one of the dumbest criminals in recent history. This guy in Orlando hijacked a car. He got arrested because he couldn't get away because the car that he hijacked was stick shift and he had no idea how to drive stick. So he got arrested right away and now he's in jail for hijacking a car. In another Florida news, we have an update on the David Beckham Stadium in Miami. This is going to be the main stadium that we're going to have down here in Miami. It's going to be located by the Miami airport, right off a major freeway. So now the traffic engineers are starting to look at ways to manage the flow of the soccer fans on game day. So that means like all that's left now is for them to sign a lease of where the stadium is going to be built. And David Beckham's team is looking to lease it for at least 99 years. And right after that lease is signed, then that means like David Beckham and his team can start building the stadium, just like they're already building the stadium, the second one in the city of Fort Lauderdale. That's where the academy is going to be in their second division team. So that's already under. In another news, this week, this is another crazy story. This man was arrested after cutting off the penis of a man he caught having sex with his wife. So, yeah, I guess he found his wife and that man having an affair and he decided to cut off his penis. So, there you go. Another crazy Florida news, of course. A mother was arrested after she decided to record her daughter licking one of the tongue depressors at a doctor's office so that they can post it on Instagram or Facebook and get likes, I guess. So now she's in jail for doing that. So there you have it. These are some of the craziest and dumbest Florida news of the week. Here's another little crazy story that we have to deal with down here all the time. This man was arrested for attempting to smuggle $34,000 of cocaine under his wig. Yes, you heard it right. He had this ugly looking wig. I don't even know what it looked like. I'm looking at photos right now, and he had a bag of cocaine under that wig. So now he's in jail and I don't think they gave him his wig back. So now he's wigless in jail. In Florida sports last night, the Orlando City tied the Portland Timbers in MLS. It was a pretty good game. Very nice crowd in Portland. And they were winning the game, and Portland, I think, tied the game on the 80-something minute. So they were very close of winning the game, but, you know, they came back home with a tie at least.
Podcast shout-outs.
Okay, so this is Dick Spring, Chief Executive of the After Dark Podcast Network. You are going to listen to The Customer Is Always Weird, Discover DLP, Biff Baff Buff, Universal After Dark, Diz After Dark, Magical Kingdom of Walt, Time Limit Draw, 6 Year Seniors, Pop After Dark, Two Tribes, a Liverpool podcast, After Dark Halloween Adventure, Half and Half Scarves, Better Call Paul. Simon says, SSDD, breaking bollocks, what the fuck? Everybody's got one. Morlando, the Orlando addict, whoever that prick is. And that Kevin Smith View Askew review. Don't forget my bench too, it's a shitty little effort, but there you go. I hope that fulfills my contractual obligations.
So my podcast shout out this week is for David Tennant himself, the actor, Doctor Who. He's got his own podcast, David Tennant Does Podcast. He just basically talks to famous movie actors and that, and TV show actors, and just questions about their lives and the interactions they have. It's quite interesting because he gets in deep with them and talks about stuff you would never hear about them. So it's fun. I think there's only about 15 episodes and he's on a break now. So if you want to listen to more, give it a go. As I said, it's David Tennant Does a Podcast.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
So let's talk about the Lion King movie. Saturday the 20th of July, I took my mum to Cineworld Crawley to go and watch this. I had a couple of free tickets because something went wrong last week with another movie. So they gave me two free tickets to go and watch any movie I wanted in any screen. So I thought, stuff it, my mum likes these type of movies. I'll take her to watch The Lion King in the IMAX screen, obviously. So obviously we went in. She's never seen IMAX before. She was blown away by the size of the screen and how loud and great though the speakers were. Clear, she loved it, and she said they're so comfortable, the chairs. She still thinks nearly £19 for the screen is overpriced, but she can see why I like IMAX. Anyway, back to the Lion King movie. So you sit back and relax. Yes, I think it's exactly basically the same film as last time, so if you've seen it before, don't expect anything new apart from Beyonce butchering a song. What's been put in the movie for no reason, just because she's Beyonce. Ugh. Anyway, also I don't think she was very good at her role. But, you know, that's it. The big problem with it was the facial expressions of the animals weren't too good. But I sort of understand maybe they're trying to make it look like as realistic as possible. But sometimes you have to take away that and, you know, just let them have the sort of human facial expression so we can feel it a bit more. Visually, I thought this film was beautifully stunning and amazing. I was blown away how great it looked. I thought the animals looked good. My mum even asked if any of them were real. As far as I knew, none of them were. But she goes, you could see people falling for it. And she's old school, so technology. My mum's not like me, so she wouldn't have known either. She loved the movie. She said she preferred this movie for its live action, but if it could have had the voice actors and that from the original, it would have been perfect. And I have to agree, the voice actors from the original were perfect, but they changed a few of them. For me, the stars of the show though were Timon and Pumbaa. In the last few scenes, them two had me laughing so much, and I enjoyed them. I've heard people haven't enjoyed the movie. Yeah, again, I try and not compare to the cartoon original. Things have changed, and we all get nostalgic for things in the past, and we don't think it would be. But for just looks and visually, I was blown away. Would I go and see it again in the cinema? No. Would I love to see a VR 5-minute video made of this movie when you're in the middle of it all? Hell yes. I would actually give the movie, though, 7 out of 10. I would say go and watch it, but don't expect anything really new. You know the movie, and you know what's going to happen. So, yeah, just go enjoy and go and see the Lion King movie. So, in England, we've had 2 or 3 days of super weather. It was super hot. I saw a lot of people complaining about it. It didn't actually kind of bother me until night time. But through the day, I didn't really sweat. Unless when I got on a bus one day. Damn, them things are sweat boxes. It's one way to lose weight, I suppose, though. So maybe I should go on a bit more because I'm a bit of a fat bastard these days. Also, there's not really much what's going on. I was meant to watch a couple of more films. Couldn't be bothered. Went out with mates. Did picnics and that. Had a few drinks for a party for someone's birthday. I've been watching Chelsea play pre-season. The first few games, they looked unfit. But they're starting to look a team. Mason Mount looks like he could be a surprise baller. Well, not to me. Watched him play for Derby last year when we loaned him out to them. Thought he played really well. But I think he's ready to step up to the Premier League. Transfer ban, still a bit of a shitter for Chelsea. But it could be a blessing in disguise. Because I think Chelsea have got some quality youngsters who need a chance. And they're coming through. The week coming up, I'm going to watch the new Fast and Furious film. Hobbs and Shaw. Haven't decided if I want to watch the film called Current Wars. I was going to go and watch it on the Saturday, but I decided against it. It might be one of them I can wait for online sort of jobs to watch it. It's pretty much Marvel superheroes acting in different roles. That's the only reason I wanted to see it, to see if their acting chops could be totally different or if they're just one-dimensional. As I say, there's not much to do. I'm still planning for a holiday. To Orlando, and just sitting back and relaxing, seeing mates and that, and working. Generally boring life right now, so not really much random chat this week, but that's it.
It's finally that time. It's time for your questions.
Well, it's Tuesday here in England, the start of the few day heat wave. It's about 28 Celsius at night time. I think it's about 20 past 8 now. I am watching Supernatural season 11. Anybody who knows, I've been trying to get through every season. I've been watching for about 7 weeks when I started season 1. So I reckon I'm only maybe 3-4 weeks away from finishing every season before the new season starts. And the last ever season, I never actually watched a show until this year, never interested me, and now I'm hooked. So it's been a great binge, better than any binge Netflix have gave me. So it's been a bit of fun. Anyway, so while I'm podcasting today, I thought I would read people's comments on a question I asked in a few Facebook groups. I'm going to tell you about the groups as well, and so if you want to join them or not, it's up to you. The first group was Disney World Florida Fun for Everyone. It's a family-friendly group run by English people, I think. If you're not English, I do apologise. Anyway, there's Sarah and that who run it. It's a really nice group. As I said, family-friendly. A lot of people from around the world passing on their knowledge and everything they know about Disney and Orlando. Plus, sharing loads of posts and that, so if you can't get out there, they help you get over your blues. Anyway, so the question was, when you're on holiday in Orlando, where do you stay and why? Do you like it? Also, if you stayed somewhere you don't like, say why. I just need to know for my podcast. So people did get back to me. What I was quite shocked, I thought everyone might ignore me. So the first one was Gary Fogden. We're staying at Hard Rock. One for the fast pass and one for convenience. Obviously, when you stay at the top hotels at Universal Studios, you get fast passes for the two parks, complimentary where you'll stay. And Hard Rock is on City Walk, as I know. It's literally 5 seconds, minutes away, I should say, from City Walk, a few minutes away from getting to Universal Studios. So I can understand why Gary's chose that one. The next person was Jane Isles. Jane, I've actually met on holiday. We both stayed at the same hotel on International Drive at the Ramada Plaza Continental, in both in suites. So it was quite cool. I've got a photo with her, so that it felt really good. Very lovely lady who goes on holiday with her daughter. If you do go and join their group, you're going to enjoy that her and her daughter get either the same matching clothes or very close to each other. And it's really cool to see the bond between both of them. And the clothes are just brilliant, I think. Anyway, so this is what she said. Stayed at the Ramada Plaza twice. Bigger rooms. Rosen Inn International twice. Was recommended. Love staying on iDrive. Stayed at Cabana Bay. Loved it. Stayed in All Star Music. Loved it. Stayed at Art of Animation and loved it. Staying at Rosen Inn Point in September because I want to try other end of iDrive. Also staying at Port Orleans, I think that is FQ. September as a birth street, so that's a Disney one. We're not getting further. There's going to be some initials. I'm not going to try and figure out what they are. It's been too hot, and I really should have done my homework. People have abbreviated what the hotels are staying at. So if the abbreviations, it's going to mean it's a Disney hotel, and you just need to quickly figure out what the abbreviations are if you'd like to stay there. Anyway, the next person was Katie Penn. The last five trips, I've stayed at the Clarion Inn at Lake Buoyan Visitor. I can never say that word properly. Palm Parkway. A, I used to live down the street, so I like and know the area. B, it is the cheapest hotel Virgin Holidays offer in the area. Fair enough. It's clean and comfy, and it's really close to the parks. Nice port and great location. It's no frills, but I'm usually there for 6 hours a day and 5.5 and then to be asleep. A lot of people do that, so that's why sometimes it ain't great to go for super expensive hotels if you're not really going to be in the hotel. If it doesn't get fast passes and that, probably pointless to get an expensive one. Janine, I keep on calling Janine, but it's, I'm butchering names. It's G-A-N-I-N Isles. I should have asked her how to say it before, and it's a bit rude of me as I've talked to her many times. I'm just very bad with names and things and that. Bit dyslexic, so go easy me peeps. Anyway, she's also put, have stayed at the Hawthorne Suites on Palm Parkway. Loved the hotel, but too far away from a lot of shops. Yet, as I can't drive. If I was an iDrive, I would gladly stay there. If it was an iDrive, I'd gladly stay there again. So the location was no good for her. Barbara Bozick Connor, Old Key West, room size and love the location. The next person was Mary Baldwin Shepherd, and this is one of the abbreviations, VRBO. We get the whole house usually for a lot less per night and staying in a moderate resort, especially when we need two or more rooms. I'd rather stay on Disney property, but the prices keep increasing and we're staying more off property. Yeah, I agree with that. Ben Shisky, a few different places on the 192, preferably Star Island. Feels more out the way, so easy to have some laid back time when you need it. The next one was Sarah Waite. Stayed at either Pop or Caribbean Beach Disney. There was that one time we went off site though. I wonder where that was. Kelly Gunter. The Polly, great transportation into Walt Disney parks, awesome setting, great food and large rooms. OKW is a gorgeous and serene. SS is pretty quiet and good and quick service. POFQ, these are the abbreviations for the hotels, is romantic, quite good food, carriage rides and boat service to Disney Springs. All Stars Worlds, crowded, loud groups, ants in and out the third room floor. The cast members were uninterested in resolving issues. Animal Kingdom, I think that was Lodge. Kinda nice rooms, kinda quiet transportation was okay. Not filled with it enough to stay again though. JJH, Caribbean Beach and Coronado Springs on Disney property are our go-to resorts. But so we also like most of the Embassy Suites location near Disney and iDrive. The next person is Vicky Coulter, Disney Wilderness Lodge, beautiful themed resort. Can see the castle and the fireworks, just magical. Actually, that's quite cool. I always think with the hotels, you can see the fireworks there, and it's got to be brilliant to see that from your own room and not being in the hustle and bustle of the park area. The next group I asked a question in was Orlando Direct. Now, this is a warning for people who are kind of snowflakes, soft, Can't take adult humour. Orlando Direct is based at adults. Anything flies in this group. It is generally Orlando stuff, but a lot of other stuff gets posted in here. Adult humour, as I said. So if it's not your type of thing, read their pinned post if you do decide to join it. Don't moan about posts on there, because the admin have warned you. If you don't like it, just leave. You don't need to moan. I enjoy the group. It's different from all other Orlando groups, and it's just a bit of banter in there. A few of them I know, I've got to know, admin, Gary Slater, who's a podcaster, obviously, Claire Ray, Cheryl Dockley, Michael Stewart, all, a few of the admin on there. The rest of them are going to say if they hear this podcast, they've been pied. Yep, you have. Sorry about that, guys. But yeah, there's a few of them. I can think of the top of my head, they have about 9 or 10 admin, I think, these days, so I've just lost count. And just get on with the banter in the group. But it's a great group if you love adult humour. So anyway, the first person to answer was Claire Louise Godfrey. Love Bahama Bay Resort in Davenport. It's spotless, lovely pools, out of the way, and full of middle and upper class, not benefit holiday eye drivers. War, Claire, war. And then another Claire Ray. Rosen Inn at Point is my fave so far on eye drive. Right bang in the centre. Staff are lovely, rooms are good, the size and beds are so comfy. All-star sports, I stayed in Disney, but I think Rosen rooms are far better, but obviously staying on site has its benefits. Gary Slater, who's got his own podcast, I think I'm going to have to do a shout out for that today, later on. Please listen to his podcast. Gary said as a joke, because there was a war going on in this group between the Enclave fan group and Orlando Direct people, who were just having banter. And the group got sad and blocked loads and deleted loads of people from their group for just laughing at a picture, dissing the hotel, because some of the rooms are dreadful, most of them nice, but they can't handle banter. So that's my piece. Now anyway, Gary said, Enclave Suites, spotless new rooms, great facilities, good location and safe. As you can tell, most people laughed at that. Then we have Sharon Rowe. We stayed on site and off site hotels over the last 30 years. But the Wyndham LBV pulls us back all the time now. Just a few minutes walk into Disney Springs and the fabulous views across Disney from the spacious tower rooms. Beds are so comfy. Great restaurant which has a character breakfast 3 mornings a week. Lovely pool and a bar. The shuttle runs approximately every 3 minutes to Disney parks. You get EMH and 60-day fast passes. Not forgetting the lovely, friendly staff. So many we are now lucky to call our friends. Perfect position for us. Happy for you. Owen McMahon. He's an admin. He's one of the ones that really is in the adult humour. So don't go moaning, because he will just take the piss. But it's a funny guy. And he's the one what started the war with the Enclaves. What was hilarious. So yeah, again, he's joking. This was his joke. Enclaves, Phil, I must admit, it's my happy place. Terry has been working there since the place was painted back in 1982. It's the most welcoming and it makes the best breakfast waffles. Yes, it's really a 5-star haven. He hates the place. So that was the best tongue-in-cheek response I saw. But on to the next person is Heather Bastable. We stayed at T, the same hotel, first 3 visits. First 2 times it was clearly in need of an update, but was cheap and cheerful. The third visit was horrendous. Filthy, dirty, bed bugs, cracks in the sinks, and sockets hanging on the wall. Staff, well, the manager were extremely rude, and we were locked out of our rooms on the second day, along with 4 other guests for not paying our bill. Did you pay your bill though, Heather? Because if you didn't, that's probably why. But I'm guessing you probably did. Also, it had a different name each time. It now has another name and new address. It was on Sand Lake, now it's classed as Universal Boulevard. So we can move on to the next person, who was Brian Smith. We always stay at the Homewood Suites, great location, free breakfast, manager's night. I'm not sure what that's about. Monday to Thursday with free beer and wine. Well, you got me there with free beer and wine, Brian. I think I'll just go in there and pretend I'm staying there. Browning Smith was the next person. Whatever. I butchered your name, sorry. Stay all over the place. Love staying on site. And our favourite is French Quarter, but We also really enjoyed being in a Villa last trip. Only bad experience I had was Rosen International. Care Louise Goodfrey, back again. Love Bahama Bay Resort in Davenport. It's spot us. Lovely pools out the way and full of minimum upper classes. I'm sure I've already read that, so we're going to move on. Susan Kenny, worst in Titan Land Resort on 192 was a Howard Johnson Hotel. Complete pit. Had to wash the kids' feet when they came out of the room. Ugh, fucking hell. We now stay in Villa's best villa. Is the one we stayed in the last two times, and I booked it again for, thank you car for steaming past my house, booked it again for next October, Lake Winston's Preserve near Champagne Gate, Champions Gate I should say, I'm thinking of champagne, obviously you need a drink. Roof Macintosh, usually in one of the Disney Deluxe hotels because we are DVC, Disney Vacation Club peeps, even I know that one. This year we are staying at Saratoga Springs Boardwalk, Bulladers Ridge. Oh, and what are these sheepy words? And Kinderdy, we get bored easy mixing up a bit. Okay, fair enough. Laura Keenan, we've gone back and forth between iDrive and Disney on site. We're now bought into DVC, and our fave hotel is so far has been Disney Boardwalk Resort. Just love everything about it. The fact that we can walk into parks is a bonus. We'll walk to the parks, I should say. To two of the parks. My least favourite hotel was the Renaissance. Oh, God. Orlando, stop making stupid long word hotel names. It doesn't impress anybody. It's fucking stupid. Up beside SeaWorld. While the hotel itself was lovely, we didn't have a car and it was too far up high drive to be able to walk easily for food. We had to get the iRide every time we wanted food. Wait, Laura, as your admin on this thing and you're listening, so bloody what? You got the bloody buses. The bus is cheap. Stop being posh. You ain't posh. You're Orlando Direct. You're like everyone else. You could have gone for a jog, maybe. No, I'm only joking. Right, Claire Howe. Okay. She said, Old Key West is our favourite. We own it. DVC. Bloody hell, how many DVCs are in this group? They must be well off. Love the size of the studios. Having a kitchenette, never had a problem with the buses. Jackie Hollingsworth. Liked the Licky Ticky Resort. I love the name. And the Castle Hotel. I drive. I've seen the Castle Hotel. Hated what used to be the roadway in near Wet and Wild used to be. And I wasn't too struck on what the quality in Plaza. Then we've got Susan Hanlon. Villas in Davenport would be the first choice. We haven't stayed at several estates, but our favourite is Highland Reserve. If we were looking for a hotel, it would be the Rosen International on iDrive. Great location and loved it. Or if we want something with a kitchen, the location, it would either be Homewood Suites near the Convention Centre or Westgate Lake and Turkey Lake Road. I need to look into Westgate Lake. It's something that's sort of interesting me. Just a bit past Turkey Lake Road's Walmart. I wouldn't drive out there, but to get an iDrive, it's only going to be a cheap Uber, $5 at the most. That wouldn't bother me. The next one was Graham Smith. We mostly stayed in villas. Our go-to area is west of 192. The Formosa Garden Boulevard area. Very close to Disney. No sharing rooms, which means you can have a shag. No problems. Cheaper than a hotel too. Otherwise on site at Disney OKW Villa. Look, guys, you got to remember that even though I should know this, I've been going for years, I don't stay on Disney. So when you abbreviate with OKW and all these things, I ain't got a clue what you mean. I don't care about abbreviations. I know you're smart because you go there all the time. Please just write what they are. Not everyone's going to know. Rant over. Right. Sharon Villeneuve. That's a foreign name, so I'm going to butcher it no matter what. Well, I had the money. I'd stay in OKW. Two-bed villa every time, or maybe a treehouse villa in SSR if I really had the money. Yeah, I had the money. And then she keeps on saying, however, I don't have the money. I choose to go more often and longer rather than 2 weeks. Disney only once per year. Sorry if my phone butted in there, guys. We stay at Bahama Bay and love it. Love that there's a choice of pools, restaurants. If We are CBA going out splash pad and a wee with the wee one. We have also stayed in the three-bed Vista del Lago and loved it too. What the most important to us is space, and the condo being in the ground floor, Littlest is very heavy on her feet. In addition to knees, so asking Littlest is heavy on his feet. God, feel weak before you say it. So asking him to walk slowly and quietly and him complying ain't happening. We also stayed in a villa and it was okay. Privacy was nice, but I like folk to chat to now and again. None of my boys are chatters. Not prepared to stay on iDrive ever. Looks rough, feels rough, and reminds me of Platball. You're in on my list. iDrive's fantastic. Sandra Hazlett Williamson. This is what she said. We had stayed on iDrive and on site, and both Universal and Disney. My favourite is Royal Pacific. I love the pool, the UEP, and the walk taxi to the parks. I love the walk taxi myself. My least favourite, simply because we paid a fortune to stay there, was Savannah View and expected more, was Animal Kingdom Lodge. I would hear the person in the room beside us pissing in the bathroom. Classy. In the middle of the night. Ruth McIntosh also said, forget to mention which one we didn't like. Wasn't that keen on the Hilton on SeaWorld on iDrive? Claire Howe decided to chime in finally. She said, not as keen on the Valley Resorts, a bit like Butlins in the sun, okay for a couple of nights. Then we had Jim Doran. Oh, I really do like butchering names of these people. If you do listen, I do apologise again. The Grove was fantastic, and that was before it was finished and before the water park opened. The only downside for someone who chose not to drive over there is that it's in the middle of nowhere. Taxis, any time you want to leave the resort, ignore the snakes, and it's a great spot. Ignore the snakes, mate. I ain't going there. Don't fuck that. I'm not a snake person. Rosalind Universal, no, it must be the one near Universal, and Rosalind International, no major issues either. Few minor gripes about the International, but nothing that would stop me going back again. With not driving there, International Drive, with so much on your doorstep, is the place to be. We'll be staying on site for the first time at both Disney and Universal for the first time in January. We're looking forward to see how they compare. Gary Slater, see, I'm not the only one that changes hotels while on holiday. See, it's the same thing. You're just out of date, son. Right, Laura Keenan. Where are all the Enclave fans? Have they left? Yeah, it's quite true, actually. Where are they all? Laura O'Flynn, another admin. First few to Orlando Direct, obviously. First few visits was a friend's condo, and then we realized he wasn't actually giving us mate rates as he said he was, and then we stayed in a condo in the same complex before moving to a villa. Well, mate, not giving you mate rates, what a bastard. Business is business. So Linda Abbott said, villa in Davenport, as we own it and love the area, is lovely. Well, that's a cheap way to have an holiday, own your own villa. Wish I actually owned my own one, to tell you the truth. Maybe anyone listening to the podcast, we should all step in together, buy our own villa between us, but I stay in it in September. Oh, we could share, actually. I'm not too worried if it's like a five bedroom. Right, Sue Coates, Linlay, something to do with Lisa Rooney, over to you, whatever that was about. And that's where ended on all direct. Now the next group was the Official After Dark Podcast Network. This is the network I'm on, with loads and loads of podcasts. What you will hear at Craig telling you about all the podcasts in the group. I think there's a few more now since he's done that, but maybe I need a new one. But yeah, it's a great group. It's all the podcasters from like shows like My Bench, a Half and Half Podcast. Oh, I can't remember all the names also. There's so many. We've got Universal After Dark, Diz After Dark, Morlando, we've got that's my phone buzzing. We've got so many. Obviously my one, the Orlando Addict Podcast. I'm bumbling in here trying to think of ones off the top of my head. I'm sorry if I forget loads of you. Obviously got the new guy like me, Simon, with the Simon Says Podcast. So please listen to his podcast. His isn't about Orlando or anything. It's pretty about much his life. It's really interesting. So yeah, there's just a few off the top of my head. Everyone else I forgot. Just give me a slap when you see me in Orlando September. I should know better by now. I listen to most of them after all. Right. So the first person was, once I can find him, He's gone missing. I do apologise, Craig Willocks. I have lost yours. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on the hunt and find it. Craig, so yeah, as I was saying, it's a bloody hot day as I try and waste time. And I can't believe I've lost Craig. Craig, where the bloody hell are you? I've lost Craig's one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pause the podcast for a few seconds and I'm going to hunt Craig's down. I'll tell you why I couldn't find Craig's. He didn't. That was another topic he was talking about. He was just basically saying, just wanted to give a heads up. If you're in Orlando mid-September, there are special events taking place in relation with the new Rob Zombie movies from Hell on the 16th and 17th and 18th of September. So that's what he was going about. So quick shout out to Craig Willocks for that. So anyway, the first person who answered was Chris Bay. Villa last time out Indian Ridge. Love the coast. Cost saving compared to staying on site, having your own pool and the freedom of having a car. Don't understand why people rely on buses and taxis, etc. I do, because we don't want to drive. David Elliott. Stayed on the Doubletree next to SeaWorld. Great hotel. Partner hotel to SeaWorld. So got free fast passes. Stayed in the Baymont Inn and Suites on Universal Boulevard. Last minute cheap holiday. Hotel was okay. Wouldn't rush back. The next person was Sarah Dwan, D-W-A-M. It's a long one, so here we go. We stayed in the Rosen Inn at Point Orlando. It was an excellent place to stay and highly recommended it. Loads to do in the area on foot, and they organised buses to all the parks too through their concierge service. Park tickets are available to buy two if needed. They are located in Point Orlando on iDrive, which is a shopping and entertainment area and complex, which has several restaurants, some outlet shops, and a huge cinema. I've been to that cinema. I actually really enjoy it there, so give it a go. It's also across from the Wonderworks and short stroll from the Orlando Eye. The trolley stops right outside, and it's approximately every 10 to 15 minutes from Disney and Universal, the hotel. The accommodation was exactly what we needed. Large clean rooms, two large double beds, and a minimum with a small kitchen area. Coffee making facilities, fridge and microwave. The bathroom was a shower and bath, but was immaculate. The rooms are within three or four blocks, tower blocks. Can't be certain how many. Access to each room is from outdoor walkway and runs around each level. Think motel style. Security are regularly patrolling the area, and we felt safe there. The only shop, they have a shop on site selling plenty of snacks and food for your room, as well as a small Starbucks in the foyer. Medicines are also available there. There are free pools on site, and we found this to be really clean and well looked after. Towels are also provided in the pools. I can give plenty of information if it would help. FYI, we visited in January, so not at peak season. So that's a lot of info on the hotel. Thank you for that. And I think that was the last person. If you want to know what hotels and I stayed at, one of the older podcasts, I actually talk about hotels and I drive and that. And I give you a list of the ones I've stayed at. So I go in depth about the hotels and give you more stuff to talk about. I've stayed at a few, some have said, and I've stayed at different ones. This year, I'm staying first two nights as a surprise, as most people know, listen to the podcast. Was for my mum, two nights at Art of Animation Resorts, our on-site favourite hotel at Disney. Then 19 nights, we're moving over to Universal's newest hotel, Endless Summer Resort, Surfside Inn. We've got one standard room for my nephew and his mate, so they can get pissed. I'll probably go and join them. And the room for me, my brother and my mum, we've got a two-bedroom suite, so she's got the bedroom bit to herself, and we've got the two double beds in the living room area. So I'm looking forward to staying there, obviously a new hotel. I've heard a few things, like the walls are thin, but I go to Tenerife, guys. I'm used to people walking in at 4, 5, 6 in the morning, pissed out of their heads in the rooms next to us. It doesn't bother me. I'm the type of person, if it's too much noise, headphones go on, and within minutes I'm back asleep, and then I've timed it, and I wake up and I'm fine. Everyone lives, everyone shouldn't be quiet for everyone else. I get probably 2 in the morning, maybe in a hotel in the Universal area. Keep it down, but also I understand people have paid to be on holiday, and they're enjoying themselves. So, yeah, that's pretty much the questions done from me. And we'll get back to more stuff in a bit. Well, for all you listening today, I hope you enjoyed them social media questions I did. I'm going to try and do that a bit more because I'd like an audience interaction. It's always nice to hear what podcasters and that think while you're listening to them. But I think it's good to hear what people on social media and that think as well. So I am going to try and keep this up. Maybe not every week, but they will be in there every month, guaranteed. So obviously, if you're interested, keep an eye out. Join the Orlando Addict podcast like page, because I might ask it a lot more now. I will be going into groups still, but pretty much that's why I'd like the core of you to come and join me, and we can get social media going together and enjoy it. Thanks for listening to the episode, though. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on Instagram, Orlando Addict, also on Twitter at Addict Orlando, YouTube is Bald Phil PDG CFC 79 videos, Facebook page Orlando Addict, and obviously if you'd like to ask me any questions, you can get hold of me either on the Anchor app or you can email me on baldphil@gmail.com. That's baldphil@gmail.com. Bald Phil out.
Son of a whore!
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.